if you would turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. Well, before we go there, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. We will not be too long tonight, but continue on our study on the home, the divine pattern for wives. We continue to try to have church. If anybody does not feel comfortable coming, then, don't come. If you have a fever or is sick, stay home. That should be a rule all the time. I mean, if you have a fever and you're sick, but if your big toe hurts or little toe, you can make it, try to come. People try to find all kind of reasons not to go to church, and some people try to find reasons to go to church, and I like that. But if you're sick, running a fever and those things, and have some of those symptoms, please stay home if you're not comfortable coming. We have a few folks in our church, Brother Tim, he's not comfortable coming, he said, so that's fine. I don't want him, we don't want him getting sick either. And Sister Dee's not feeling very well. I forgot to mention her. She was sick on Sunday, and she's not feeling well. And so she's staying home, and she's doing that for our benefit. She doesn't want to get us sick. And she doesn't need to get sick either. So if you're not feeling well, stay home. And we'll make sure that if we do talk about you, it won't be live. We're not going to talk about nobody. I'm just joking. I need to lighten up a little bit tonight. I didn't do the coronavirus. I'm sorry. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4. Well, here, let's just start at the top and read down through verse number 6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so we talked about last week having a home that's pleasing to God, and having a home that's like having heaven on earth. And that's something that's possible to have in a home. And that attitude and that spirit of that heaven on earth is going to come from different parts of the family. But that lady's attitude in the home can control that home. If, you've heard it said, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And that can be absolutely true. We started to talk about that a person cannot be made to submit. And what I mean by that is they can be made to obey. They can be made to surrender. But they cannot be made to submit. And when somebody is submitting, they're submitting with their heart, with their mind. They're in submission. They have the right attitude about it. You can make them surrender. And it's like, I've heard the illustration with animals or with children or whatever the case might be, you can make them do what you want them to do. But the difference is their heart. If they're doing it because they want to please the Lord and they want to submit to that, to the authority, then God's pleased with that. But if they want to do it with a bad heart or with an attitude, just about anybody can be made to do things. It'll get you in trouble sometimes. But you can make somebody, we can make a child or as a teenager, there were some things that I did not submit to my parents on, but I surrendered to it. You say, what does that mean? It means I did it because I knew what would happen if I didn't do it. But I wasn't happy about it. And I murmured and complained when I walked away when they weren't paying attention. But God hears all that. And so in that moment, I obeyed, but I was not submissive. And in return, God is not pleased with that. And then that caused problems in my heart, in my life, in my relationship with my parents. And so when we talk about submission for a wife, It's not, a husband cannot make his wife submit. He can do things to make her obey and those kind of things, but even then today, you can't really do that. But she will not submit because, if her attitude toward her husband or her family is not right. But if she has a desire to please the Lord and to obey the Bible, even if she's not exactly happy with what's being done, she'll submit to it with her heart and let God handle it. And while a husband cannot make his wife submit to him, if she is a godly woman who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to be right with God, she will gladly submit to her husband. And again, we've dealt with husbands, and we've dealt with the responsibility they have. And I know sometimes there's relationships where the husband didn't do right, or he did things, and there's a lot that goes on there. And we said before, not every marriage is God ordained, because God did not put those two people together. And there's some that didn't make it. I mean, and God cannot be blamed for that. God never put those two people together. He can't be blamed for that. He was never involved with that process. And so, but now we've dealt with the husband. Now we're dealing with that wife. And it ought to be done. Everything we do as a child of God ought to be done to please the Lord. And if we do it to please the Lord, in return, it'll work out with our spouse. That goes for the husband and the wife. But he mentions here the godly woman with a meek and quiet spirit. A spirit that tries to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. A spirit of obedience and a spirit of submission. If there's a husband that tries to throw his weight around and he tries to be the boss and all those kind of things, he'll find out real quick that God is not going to honor that. The Bible says over in Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. What does that mean? God's going to put him down. He'll humble him. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so if a husband tries to do those things, he's going to find out really quickly God does not honor that. And we have to trust that God will take care of that and humble them. God honors those who forfeit their personal rights to Him. So when we talk about submission, and we know as a husband, we are to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's all kind of things the Bible tells us we're to submit to. We're to submit to the authority, the pastor in the church. We're supposed to submit to the authorities of the state and those kind of things. And God tells us we all fall under submission to somebody or something. And at the end of the day, we're all falling to submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that thing of submission, obeying with a joyful heart to the Lord, goes the same way. If we don't do it with the right spirit or the right heart, then we're not submitting. And we'll get in trouble. And at the end of the day, let me ask you this. When it comes to this thing of submission and submitting to a husband or a boss or whatever the case might be, as a child of God, do we really have any rights? No, we have privileges. I preached several weeks ago on the privilege of being a priest, the part of the royal priesthood, the priesthood of the believer. There's privileges that we have for being a child of God. But when it comes to having rights, we are not our own. We belong to someone else. Right? Let me show you a couple verses on that. And I'm trying to get you to see this when it comes to the submission part, because there's a lot of children and ladies and even men or things in churches where they'll say, well, I will not submit to them. Well, who are you to make that decision if you're a child of God? Who are you to make that decision? We're nobody, right? And let me show you. All right, I got scripture on this. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. I'm going to give you several verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. And so, with all this being said, and I'll repeat it again in just a second, we are not our own. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as a Savior, he or she becomes a part of the Lord's body. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. The Bible says, for we, those that are saved, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. we become a member of his body. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, how do we become a member of his body? How is it that we become his? We are not our own. I'm going to give you that verse in a second. We're bought with a price. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. How did that happen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So we were not redeemed. That means to be bought back with corruptible things. How did we become a part of his body, of his bone, of his flesh? How were we purchased? Well, we became his. Verse number 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We became a part of him and we became his when he purchased us with his blood. We became a child of the king. Now, I know in today's society, they say that a child, when it's born, when I say they, I mean a lot of people, but not us. I don't say this. But they say when that child's born, it needs to decide what sexual orientation it's going to be when it gets older. And as it gets older, it's going to make its own decisions on what it likes. There's people doing that today. You know that, right? But as a when God gives you a child, he's giving you that child as your responsibility to raise that child. And now you're the protection in its life. And you're the one that instructs it and teaches it and helps it grow and gives it the food it needs and the instruction it needs to be able to make it and to keep it safe. And when we became a child of God, when he purchased us with his blood, now he's our protection. Now he's the one that instructs us and keeps us safe and feeds us. And as we go through coronavirus, the Lord is not, this did not catch him by surprise. Not one bit. I'm going to preach on that this Sunday. And so it didn't catch him by surprise at all. And we as a child of God, we just trust that it's going to be okay. Whenever you go through hardships and you go through financial problems or health problems, sometimes your kids, and they shouldn't know about this, your kids do not need to worry about whether or not you have money. They're not made to handle that. And they should never know about it. And you and your husband might have conversations about, hey, we ain't got money. But they shouldn't know that. And they're in the other room playing and having fun. And you know what? As a child of God, while all this stuff's going on, I say, Abba, Father, you know, can you handle all this? And I'm going to go right back to doing what I was doing, just enjoying your fellowship. Amen? Yeah. Reading our Bible and going on about, there's no need to fear. He's in control. And so we're bought with a price. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we're bought with a price, and that price was the precious blood of the Lamb of God, we are not our own. So how does this tie in with submission? It ties back to submission because we are not our own. So what does that mean? It means we do what he asks us to do. To have his blessings. And he does those things, and he puts people in our life to submit to, not for punishment, not because he doesn't like us, but for protection. For protection. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let me get over there myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And I can imagine Paul asking him this. What? Did you not know that? That he purchased you with his blood and you're not your own? Verse number 20, for ye are bought with a price. What was the price? The precious blood of Christ. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. So again, after salvation, we become a child of God. We become a part of his body. We belong to him. And then once he does that, just like our children, we try to protect them. I think it's very, very important, and we're not dealing with the parents so much yet. We're dealing with the wife here. We'll get on the parents later. But it's important that if in your home you tell your child to stop doing something, it should only be one time. You say it's not really that big of a deal for me to say stop and they don't stop. Well, it's a big deal when you're standing out in the road and they begin to cross the road or run away from you and you say stop and they don't listen.
That's right.
Now, what you did at home and they didn't listen and now they're not listening outside has ended in a tragic accident.
Yeah.
You teach them that at home to protect them. And it might not be a big deal at home, whatever it is. But they need to learn that when they hear the voice of their father, their mother, saying stop, they stop on a dime and look right at them and find out what they want. Mm-hmm. You say, do your kids do that? No, they don't. We work on it all the time. We're going to keep working on it until we figure it out. Because one day their life might be in physical danger, and I need them to respond to my voice just like that. And so that's why it's important. That's why you train up a child. And you say, and that relates right over to us as an adult, as a father, as a mother, as a child of God. When he tells us, the husbands, love your wives, and wives, submit to your husbands. He does those things because he wants to protect us. He put that order in home so that we can have unity in the home, so that we can have harmony in the home, and so that he can protect us. We can have a Christian home and a life that's blessed by God himself. And you can walk out of those doors and go just about any direction and find a home with no peace, no harmony, and there's a lot of emotional, physical, and spiritual pain that those people are in. They're hurting. They're not being protected. Their home is a disaster. Their home is a wreck. There's people cheating on each other and they're stabbing each other in the back with their words and they're going to bed yelling at one another. And man, that doesn't sound like any kind of home I would want. That's a home out of harmony, a home out of unity. And that's why God put these things here. So as a child of God, as a Christian, we really have no rights. The Laodicean church age, which I believe is what we're in right now, is the age of people's rights. Everybody has their rights. That's what they say. Everybody does. I mean, the dog even has, the pillow has its rights now. Everybody's got rights. Right? I mean, that's the age we're living in. Everybody. But you know, as a child of God, if I really am submitted to my Bible and to God, I really have no rights.
Yeah.
Because I'm following this. We say as a church, the King James Bible is our foundation. It ought to be the foundation of our homes. And say, you know what? What do you think about that, Brother Andrew? Well, let's see what the Bible says. No, I want to know what you think about it. Well, I really don't have a thought about it. What does the Bible say? Amen. They say, well, you're fanatical. Well, whatever, I am. And I'll keep living this. You know, God's been good to me and to my family. And I want to raise my children to know what's right and what's wrong. And I'm telling you what, we're growing up in a wicked time. And it's just going to get worse. And we have to teach and we have to understand, as a child of God, we have no rights. The Lord bought us with a price. And again, we have no rights as a child of God because we belong to Him. But man, the privileges that we have that other people don't. Right? There's people panicking all over right now. And they're panicking tonight because they don't have peace. But I know the peacemaker personally, and I talked to him today. Man, that's a privilege. That's a privilege that we have that nobody else has. What did the apostles call themselves over and over and over and over again? They called themselves the servants of God. In Romans, I mean, all through Paul's writings, Peter said it. James said it. They said a servant of God, a servant of God, a servant of God. These were great men. These were men that were preachers and did great things for the Lord and were great, had great stature. And other people looked up to them and they might have been pastoring other people. But their description of themselves was, I'm just a servant of God. I'm just doing what God told me to do. And so they even, in their own testimony, realized that they were bought with a price. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says that the people of God are peculiar people. You know what that means? It means we're His personal property. And I'm thankful I belong to Him. Because my Bible tells me if you don't belong to Him, then you belong, then the devil is your father. You say, well, I'm a good person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're only going to have one or two fathers. Either the devil's your father or God's your father. You don't have to do anything for the devil to be your father. When you accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. But the problem is, a lot of Christians, and I don't know how I got off on this and got away from the wives. Somebody must be praying. But one of the problems is, we're bought with a price, but yet we still want to live like the devil's our father. And we still want to do whatever we want to do. And the devil just encourages that. Because when you do what you want to do and you live the way you want to do and you don't submit, you don't obey, and you run down your husband or run down your kids or run down your wife, then you're ruining the testimony of God and God's family. You're hurting that testimony. And the devil's happy as can be with that. We are not our own. God never honors those who cling to their rights. He only honors those who freely, with the right attitude, chooses to submit. Submit to Him. Wife, you say, I want to submit to God. God says, you want to submit to me? Submit to your husband. Submit to your husband. Amen. He honors those who freely choose to obey Him. A wife that submits to her husband in obedience and with the right heart, the right attitude, she will bring the blessings of God on her home. I mean, just like the husbands, I wouldn't want to stand in a place where I hinder the blessings of God on my home. And as a wife, you wouldn't want to stand in the place where you hinder the blessings of God on your home because of your attitude or because of the way that you approached it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Started this Bible study on the pattern for wives a couple weeks ago. That's right when the coronavirus came out, so I want to know who called it in. That's what I thought. Proverbs 18:22. What the Bible says here, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Man, what a blessing. And you say, well, God doesn't like women. No, He just told the man that if you find a wife, you find a good thing. And not only that, but you have found favor of the Lord. Talking about her. And she says, well, if I'm supposed to submit to Him, then that means God doesn't like me very much. No, no, no. He does it for your protection. And He tells that husband, if you find a wife, and you find one, you find it a good thing and you obtain favor of the Lord. This wife in Proverbs chapter 18 mentioned here, and also Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. This wife here that is a good thing, that is favor of the Lord, she's a wife that's saved. She's a wife that's a godly wife. She's a wife that brings blessings to her family. I mean, just her attitude, her spirit, her longing for the Word of God, her longing to teach her children, her grandchildren, her longing to fellowship with her husband and be a help to him and be an encouragement to him, all those things is a good, that's that good wife he's talking about. And he says in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I would think that all Christian ladies and our young ladies need to be taught this. I mean, even Ella is beginning to learn how to be this kind of lady that God would be pleased with. But I would think that all Christian ladies would want God to have His hand and His blessing on their home. I would think that that would be their heart's desire. just as godly men would want the same thing for their home. But the only way to have those blessings in our home is to obey God's word. There's no way, you can't do it any other way. You can't go to heaven by any other way but by Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. You cannot have a home that God is pleased with that he blesses outside of the word of God. And there's been a lot of secular books written on the home. There's been a lot of philosophers that have an idea on how to raise children and how to be a wife and how to be a husband, when the greatest book that's ever been written on is right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we have it in our lap. And all we have to do is obey it. So it's harder said than done. Well, it might be, and I don't want to give this away because it's another message God's dealt with me on, but if the Christian life is hard for you, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. If you're always looking for ways to get out of obeying God's word or going to church, you're doing it all wrong. Amen. And you're going to be miserable. I appreciate those that might have smaller children or might have some medical things sometimes, but those things don't stop them. They're trying to find a way to come to church. Amen. I had someone call me this last week. I'm not going to say their name. But said, hey, I'm not really feeling, 100%, but here's what I'm dealing with, and but I really want to come to church. And we went down the symptoms, and they didn't have coronavirus, so I said, come. And you probably thought they would shift their hands Sunday, but don't even know it.
Yeah.
Amen. But what I'm saying is looking for reasons to come, not trying to find reasons not to come, not trying to find reasons not to obey, whose price is far above rubies. Why a godly wife's price? It says it's far above rubies. Invaluable to have a godly, a virtuous woman. A godly wife is a virtuous woman. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, just a few more minutes when we get finished. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 14. Bible says, in the Psalms. It's a good verse too. Alright, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Again, referring to a wife as a gift from the Lord, as something that's precious. God gave his son, and now he's comparing a wife as something that's precious, as a jewel, as something that's a gift from him and that is from the Lord, a favor of the Lord. Precious, virtuous. I mean, those are all things of honor for a wife. And I would believe that a Christian wife would say, Lord, I want those terms. I would love those. Not so I can be somebody, but man, to have the Lord look down upon you to say, that's how I view you. What a precious thing. Is it not? I don't see anywhere where he's calling any of the men a precious ruby. Are a good thing versus a bunch of Gentile dogs. Amen. A prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife, she's one that acts wisely. We talked about the older women teaching the younger women how to be sober, be serious-minded, to act wisely. The man who has a wise wife needs to thank God that she's from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I do. I have a wise wife. I'm not just saying that. She's not listening because the thing doesn't work tonight. But I told everybody it would work and it's not working. But I have a wise wife. I've gone to do some things and she respectfully and in submission said, I don't know if we should do that.
Amen.
And it saved me. Amen. And I've went against that sometimes just for her to kind of give me that look like I told you so, but she didn't say it. But I do, and I said, I know what you're thinking. Who told me so? So I didn't say it, you did. And I thank the Lord for that. You know what it is? That's a gift from the Lord. That's what the Bible says here. A prudent wife is from the Lord. One that has some wisdom. Such a man that has a wife that has some wisdom and wise and those things, that's a man that has obtained favor from the Lord. Favor of the Lord. We read that back up there in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. And if a man has a wife like that, he needs to be very thankful. Because there's a lot that are not, that are out in this world today. There's a lot of extremely selfish people, men and women, that are just selfish. They're self-centered, and they do not work with wisdom. You know how you become wise, ladies? Spend time in this book. Not on Facebook, but in this book. I'm going to say it again Sunday, but I want to challenge everybody that has that stuff to turn it off for a few days. Whoa. Shields up. I'm serious, man. It's messing with people's minds. Just turn it off. Read your Bible for a couple days. Every time you were going to pick up your phone and look at it, read your Bible. Just for a couple days. I mean, take a break. The media is just, I mean, every 30 seconds they're throwing stuff out. And it's out of control. And it's messing with people's minds. I got this message for Sunday on my heart. I probably should have preached it tonight, but this prudent wife obtained the favor of the Lord. There's a lot of men today in the world that do not have godly wives. But there's also a lot of wives that do not have godly husbands also. The Bible implies that such a woman that's prudent, that has this wisdom, that's just precious, is a very rare and a great value. Because he says there, her price is far above rubies. And he says in Proverbs chapter 31, who can find a virtuous woman? Saying that it's hard to find one. It's hard to find that virtuous woman. And so as a wife, you don't want God to look down on our church or look down in your home and say, I'm looking for a virtuous woman. Can't find one. Amen. Just as men, we don't want God to look down on our church and say, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. I'm looking for a man to preach or a man to stand up and be bold. And him look down on our church and say, well, I can't find one. That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? It's a shame for God to have to look down and say, who can find a virtuous woman and say, well, I can't find one. And so we ought to have a desire to be that. To be that man, to be that woman that God would have us to be. And that one that has a price that's far above rubies, that's rare and of great value. Christian ladies should read their Bible. They should meditate on the Bible. They should memorize Scripture, just as the men do, but we're dealing with the ladies. But everything we do ought to be centered on the Bible. Spend more time on this than we do on social media. Spend more time on this than we do in some of the other worldly activities or watching television or whatever the case might be. Those things will not help you be more of a virtuous woman. In Proverbs chapter 31, let's turn over there real quick, and I'm going to go back and read this portion of Scripture probably, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31. That's the rest of the chapter, and this is the homework for this week. Anybody wants homework? For all the ladies and the men, I want the men to read it also. Go read Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31. I encourage young ladies to memorize these verses. Because this is something that directly applies to them and their relationship with their family and their husband and ultimately their relationship with God. It'd be a good thing to memorize them. Sarah's going to have Ella and Emma memorize it when they get old enough. And so these are very important things, and these verses tell us about the attributes of a godly, virtuous woman, of godly, virtuous wife. And so, next week, Lord willing, we're going to read these verses and we're going to look at this Proverbs 31 lady. And again, we're still dealing with a wife that submits to her husband. That's still the point that we're on. But there's just a lot that goes into this to be into that place where they can submit. And people say, you know, well, it's a lot easier said than done. Again, if you just want to please the Lord and obey, it doesn't have to be hard. It's not hard for us to please the Lord. It does, you know, at times it is, but it doesn't have to be that way. If you're doing it that way, you're not doing it right. Amen. I'm having the time of my life serving the Lord. Man, coming to church, I love our church, and I love everybody here. And it breaks my heart every time somebody chooses not to come here, and I don't understand it. Amen. I don't. And I have a hard time with it because I love our Lord. I love people. People here are my friends. And we have a good time, and we laugh, and I believe it pleases the Lord still. Amen. You don't have to be miserable serving the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand. All right, what's the homework?